Open your Bibles with me this morning to a single verse of Scripture today, 1 Corinthians 5:18. We'll be reading that in just a moment. Earlier in this service, I read this passage of Scripture in its larger context, the verses before it, a few verses after it, because I wanted you to see what the larger context of which this simple directive is given by Paul to the Christian church. Let us also take a moment and remember what this verse is and why it was given to us. Paul, in his letters to the churches, the epistles we call them, that we have in the New Testament, they, generally speaking, are letters of instruction to the early Christian church. Here we are speaking of the church of Thessalonica. It is a Greek city, obviously would be a Gentile-based church in a world in which the church was unknown. You see, they did not have this, you know, these letters, most of them were written in the mid-60s A.D., the first Christian century. The church at this point would have been theoretically in a total about 30 years old, not the Thessalonican church, but the church in general. It's about 30 years after the resurrection, so we're talking about the first generation of Christians are here. Paul has gone about and he's been on his missionary journeys. In these journeys, he goes into these cities, usually Gentile cities, and shares the gospel, has some people convert into Christianity, forms them into a church, and then he, shortly thereafter, moves on to another city and repeats this. Well, on occasion, he writes letters back to his churches, back to the people he knows, people he loves, people who he has led to Christ and has helped them organize these very, very early churches. Well, the problem, or one of the problems that these early churches had, especially the Gentile churches, is they had no church background, because there was no church background. This is the first generation of Christians. They didn't have history to go back into. They didn't have anyone to call up and say, hey, how do you handle this? How have you handled this in the past? Because as far as the church was concerned, there was no past. This was all new. They did not get into a circle and discuss the situation and say, well, how have we handled that before? Because as far as the church is concerned, there was no before. And so Paul writes back to them and says, this is what I want you to consider. This is what I want you to think about as the church begins to develop in this first Christian century. And as he ends this first letter of instruction to the church of Thessalonica, and this is a Greek city, these are Gentiles to whom he is writing. You see, the Jewish churches of the first century had advantage because they at least had a God background. They had the synagogue that developed during the Babylonian captivity. They had the temple in which the Jews were continuing to worship. They had the Old Testament history and the Old Testament traditions that the Christian church embraced and accepted. So they had that advantage. Now these Gentiles, the Greeks, they didn't have any of that. They had the pagan gods that were in their forms of worship. Their background of worship, if they had any religious activity at all, would have been dramatically different in form and format. First of all, they were coming from a polytheistic system to a monotheistic belief and faith, and now they are believing and expressing faith in a resurrected Christ, that the Son of God was born. He lived and died and rose again. And now they're expressing faith in that, and they're investing themselves in that, but they have no history. So Paul writes them, and he gives them instruction. And as he is coming to the end of this first letter to the church of Thessalonica, he gives them kind of a laundry list of things to do and things not to do. But here are some things the church is supposed to be doing, and this concept of giving thanks is right smack in the middle. And smack is comes from a Greek word that means smack. Okay. Now, says, here's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Rejoice always. Okay. Be happy. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. The King James calls it pray without ceasing. Okay. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's one we're gonna look at it in detail in just a moment. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise the prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to that which is good and stay away from every kind of evil. Okay? Now, if I thought for a moment or that we could take this and absorb all this and apply all this to our lives, I would say, I would read this passage and say, go do it. Amen. Let's go. But we know it requires more than that. What I want us to look at is this one directive amongst the other directives. But understand, and the reason I point out the other directives is to point out how important this is. This is a verse and a directive from Paul to the Christian church that we're supposed to give thanks. And it just so happens we're going to talk about this on the week of Thanksgiving. Strange, but that's what we're going to talk about. Why do we give thanks? Why do we have Thanksgiving? Why, where does this come from? Understand. And while our world has tried to usurp and hijack Thanksgiving away from its Christian roots, as it has with all the holidays that we celebrate, we need to understand that the reality of Thanksgiving is a uniquely Christian holiday. Notice I did not say it is a uniquely religious holiday. It is uniquely Christian. Because the roots of our traditions of Thanksgiving go back to a Christian group we call the Pilgrims. They were Congregationalists that had been pushed, persecuted away from England, settled in what we now call Plymouth, not in a Plymouth, but in Plymouth, there in the northeastern part of what is now the United States. They settled there. They were coming up to their second winter. Their first winter had been tragic, had been difficult. Many of them had died. Now they have had their first harvest in the New World. The harvest was good. It was successful. They have enough food in storage that they can look into the winter. They can look past the fall and into the winter and say, we are going to survive this. This year is going to be better than last year. Why? Because we've had a harvest and we have food stores and there's enough for us to eat. And we're not going to go through the disease and the starvation that we went through last winter. Why? Because God has provided for us. And there is where the roots of Thanksgiving are. And the Bible tells us, as Christians, just as we're instructed to pray, just as we're instructed to rejoice and to praise and to worship, just as we are instructed to avoid evil and to embrace good, we are instructed to give thanks. This is our job, is to give thanks. And let's look at the inside of this verse and see the things for which we should be thankful and what this thing means. First of all, he says, give thanks in everything. Doesn't that sound strange? Give thanks in everything. Now, as we approach Thanksgiving, as we approach the holiday that we set aside, where we'll gather with our families or our friends or some company, and we will have a harvest feast, if you will. We will celebrate it. And I promise you, it will be no reference to the sin of gluttony in today's message. It is not one I traditionally preach against anyway. But the reality is we're not going to talk about that aspect of, we're going to have a feast. And it depends on what your family's tradition is, how you will approach it and what you choose to do this year. But there's the turkey and there's the ham and there's the cranberry sauce and there's the stuffing and there's the mashed potatoes and the gravy. And I am salivating here now just thinking about these things. But this is part of our culture's traditions. And again, your family may do it a little differently. You may have some other issues. You may do it exactly as traditionally done. But the point of it is an act of which we are giving thanks. And we are remembering the bounty and we are celebrating the bounty that God has extended to us. And we need to remember and we need to understand that all of us in our culture, all of us within this room here today, who've gathered in this place of worship to worship, we have so much for which we should be thankful. We live in bounty. We live in a time and in a world and in a place and in a culture where we don't worry about what people have worried about traditionally through history. When we get up on Thursday and we're going to have the Thanksgiving meal, we're concerned about what we're going to have. We're concerned about how much we're going to have. We're concerned when we're going to have it. We are not concerned if we are going to have. we know we're going to have something. And again, your family may not do turkey or ham. It may do something else, but your family's going to, we live in a time of bounty. We live in a time of plenty. And the reason we live in a time of plenty is because we live in the hand of a gracious God. He has provided what we have. He has provided. Well, I'll work for that. Well, who gave you your job? Who has given you the strength? Who's given you the insight? Who has provided the means of education of which you can embrace your current profession or whatever it may be? It's God. It all comes from the hand of God. It all comes from the Creator. Now, when he says to be thankful in everything, to give thanks for everything, he's also referring to the negative. He's referring to those hard times. So Paul talks about that quite a bit in other places in his writings, as do other New Testament writers, that sometimes there's difficulties that come in life. And we need to find the way of praise, the way of worship, the way of honor, even in the hard times of life, in times of illness or in times of bereavement or in times of struggle, in times of poverty, relative poverty, those sorts of things. And we need to give thanks in those. And those are all true. I'm not going to talk about that a lot this morning. That's really not the essence of today's message. But the Bible teaches us to praise God even in those difficult days. And they're part of everything. But you see, I think as Christians, and I think this is almost a uniquely Christian problem, sometimes we have more problems remembering to worship and to praise and to give thanks for the bounty than we do for helping us through the struggle. When we get through the struggle, we can look back on it and we can say, God, I see how you helped me through that. I see how that struggle has now helped build my faith, how it has increased my experience, which will help me on the other side. I can see how once I've gotten past this issue and I can see how your hand has worked, that I don't have to fear like I feared this before, because you've gotten me through it once, you've gotten me through it twice. I know you're going to get me through the third struggle of life whenever that third struggle comes. So we have the ability to do that. But what about the times when there are no struggles? What about times when things are just good? The job is going well. The family is reasonably happy. Things are rocking along there and everything's going okay. And there's not much problem going on in and around my life. There's no real struggle. Do we remember to thank God? Not that we don't try to usurp that and take that away from Him, but do we even think about it? Does it cross our minds? Are we mindful of the source of the bounty, of the source of the goodness? Well, sure we are this morning. We're in church. What about Monday morning when we're at work? What about Wednesday when things are just going on as normal? What about Friday when it's almost time to leave work and we're celebrating the weekend? What about those other times? Do we just think of it? You see, sometimes we just don't consider the source of the bounty, except on Thanksgiving Day, or except when we gather together and someone reminds us. The reason life is good is because God is good. And He has extended this to us, and we have reason to be grateful. We have reason to be thankful, and we should do this. So whenever you gather with your family on Thanksgiving Day, gather with your family or your friends or whatever company you are with on that day, and you hold hands and you offer your prayer of thanksgiving, remember to praise God and to thank Him for everything, because He is the source of everything. Everything good that He has given us. He has helped us through the struggles of life. We've got a good God, and we need to remember to thank Him for that. Be thankful for everything. For everything. And then the verse goes on. Give thanks for everything, for this is God's will for you. Hear that? This is God's will for you. Yes, it is His will for us to be thankful. But really what He's saying there, what that line means, is it is God wills that you have something to be thankful for. God wills blessings to be upon you. And how do I know that to be true? Because it is persistent and consistent within His nature. From the time of creation all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament to this very day, one thing that is consistent about our Creator God is His desire to bring blessings to us. When God created humanity, He made all of creation, and at the end of during the sixth day, then He created us, our ancestors. And He placed them, notice this, He placed them in what the Bible calls the Garden of Eden. He did not place them in the desert of Eden. He placed them in the garden. Why? Because a garden is a place of blessing. A garden is a place of provision. And even when Adam and Eve sinned, and sin was brought into the human race and into humanity, still something we struggle with, God's desire for blessing does not end. You go and you read the Old Testament. Read about our Creator God, God the Father. Yes, there is some judgment. Yes, there are things of which He is extremely stern and very direct. But through it all, there is desire for blessing. In fact, in the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, the last one that was written about 400 years before the birth of Jesus, the book of Malachi tells us, it's a challenge to the person who's faithful to God. Trust me, try me, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour my blessings out on you. It's like He wants to take a 5-gallon bucket of blessings and pour it out His window on top of us. And that is a very real picture of the nature of God. He wants to bless us.
Well, He ain't blessing me enough.
Oh, yes, He is. He's blessing every one of us. We live in His blessings. Why? Because it is His nature. And through the Old Testament, or through the New Testament, that nature does not change. It is God's will to be a blessing to us. Now, we have a tendency to take those blessings for granted. We have a tendency to sort of pass them off. Or sometimes we have the tendency to take credit for the blessings ourselves. This is my blessing. I have blessed myself with this because I am so talented. Because I am such a... We have this struggle with our own ego that tries to usurp His blessing. But understand, goes back to that first line of this verse is give thanks in all things. Give thanks about everything. Be thankful for everything because it all comes from the hand of God. He wants to bless you. And He wants your life to be a blessing and to receive a blessing. Now, again, we're standing on the brink of a holiday that's set aside for us to remember to give thanks. And we give thanks to the one that we believe provided our blessings. And the struggle sometimes is while we will offer a prayer of thanksgiving in our hearts, we're thinking, yeah, I have this blessing, but really, I'm going to thank me because I'm really good. You know, you realize there are going to be people in our culture who really want to offer thanks to the government for everything they have. Crazy, but there's going to be. But we need to understand that God is the one who brings us blessings. If you are blessed by your family, and we're blessed by our families, understand that our family is a provision that is given to us by the blessed and glorious hand of God. He has given us our families. If we are blessed by our professions, and we enjoy that and we feel that that is a blessing, understand that that came to us through the hand of God. He is the one who has blessed us with everything we have. When you sit down at your Thanksgiving table this Thursday and you look at that table and it's just bow-legged with all the food that is set upon it, and you look at that, understand that that bounty has come because God has desired to bless you in everything. In everything. He's a good God, and He blesses us. And we need to remember to give Him thanks because that is what He wants to do. He wants to do this. We're coming up toward Christmas. It's going to be just around the corner from this holiday. Despite what impressions you may have received by going into the retail establishments in our community, it is not Christmas season yet. That starts Friday, despite the rumors that you hear that it's already going. Now, interestingly, Thanksgiving, which is a great day of thanksgiving and praise and worship, is followed by the most pagan of holidays called Black Friday. Just saying. But, and I expect most of you will enjoy both, but that's okay. The reality is, and then we move into the Christmas season. Now, Christmas is a time of giving. It's a time of celebration. Again, it's another wonderful, wonderful time in our culture and in our world if we keep it in appropriate perspective. But we're going to be moving toward the Christmas holiday. And one thing that my wife insists upon, and this is one of her godlike qualities, of which she has many. You may tell her I said that. But is she likes to bless our grandchildren. Not our kids so much, but our grandchildren. She wants to bless them. And she is already, and this is good, she's already started to buy blessings, to purchase Christmas blessings to give to the grandchildren. And she will go through, and we've got six of them, and she's got this calculator in her head, and somehow she can keep up with what she has gotten every kid and how much every gift costs, and she keeps this running total. And by the end, it all has to be equal. But what she does is she buys this and she buys that, and this one's 45 cents more than this one, so she has to increase this one and then this one. Anyway, by the end of Christmas, by the time Christmas gets here, she has blessed them in ways beyond imagination, which I don't mind the blessing. I do sometimes object to the purchase of the blessing, but not the blessings itself. But the reality is that she wants to bless the grandchildren. Why? Because they're grandchildren. Because she loves them. She wants to see their eyes light up, even though we may not be with them FaceTime. She wants to see their eyes light up. She wants to see the blessings come. And the same thing were true when our kids were little. We just didn't have the means for a whole lot of blessings in those days. But the reality is, that's what God wants. When God opens up that window and pours that those blessings out upon us, He wants to see His children's eyes light up with delight. Why? Because He loves us. Because He wants to bless us, and He blesses us. And then this verse concludes with the greatest blessing and really the foundation for the joy of thanksgiving, because the whole concept has to be centered on the blessings that God gives us through His Son. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, He's speaking to Christians, those who are in Christ Jesus here. You see, Jesus is the greatest expression of love and blessings the world has ever known. The greatest expression we'll ever see. No one has ever done anything for you like God did for us when He gave us His Son. There's just nothing comparable. Think back to the best thing anybody has ever done for you. The biggest surprise, the greatest joy, the biggest happiness that anyone has ever given you. And understand that is as magnificent as that may have been, it pales. I mean, it actually disappears in the brightness of the gift of Jesus. On that first Christmas morning, God gave us His Son. And His Son was born to be a Savior. And when the Savior did what He does, and the resurrection happened on Easter, we come back and we see that this is what really makes all the other blessings of value. And let me explain what I mean to you by that. No matter what we have, on Thanksgiving, no matter how much we eat, if you sit down at your Thanksgiving meal and you eat a big piece of turkey and a big slab of ham and all the dressings and the mashed potatoes, and then after you have just gorged yourself on the main course and they bring in the pumpkin pies and the chocolate pies and the pumpkin rolls or whatever other desserts may be there, and you just eat until it is just, you just can't move. Someone has to wheel you in to watch the football game. I mean, it's just that much. the bounty of that feast is only going to last a very short time. By dark, if you eat at noon, by dark, you will be hungry again. You may have to take a bunch of Tums and Rolaids and other things, but you're going to be hungry again. The next day, you're going to need to repeat that. And sooner or later, those leftovers are going to all be gone. And then all that feast is history. Same thing is true of every other physical blessing we have. As wonderful as our families are, the relationship we have as family is a temporary relationship. As wonderful as your job and your profession may be, you are a temporary employee. I don't care if you do that job for 50 years, that's temporary. But when God gave us His Son, that made all the blessings permanent. Jesus is a permanent blessing. Jesus is the one who brings meaning to what we have. He is the one that carries it forward and makes it more valuable and more meaningful. He is the one who transcends time and transcends circumstance. That is why we can give thanks in everything, is because this is done in Christ Jesus, and He is the foundation for all things, and He extends the power and the authority of His blessings beyond the blessing itself, and He makes that blessing permanent. You want to get the full joy out of your Thanksgiving meal? Have it in relationship with Christ. You want to make your family more meaningful and more special than it naturally is? Then relate to your family through the power and the person of our resurrected Savior. You want to make your job a truly fulfilling life experience every day when you go to work? Serve as though you're serving Jesus. That is how these things work. And that is exactly what we as Christians are instructed to do. And that is the power of giving thanks. And that is why and where we can give thanks in everything. We give thanks to God in everything because He is the one who has provided the blessings, and He is the one who makes those blessings permanent in His Son. So, when we gather with our company on Thanksgiving, whenever you celebrate that time, and we hold each other's hands and we give a prayer of thanksgiving, let us understand, while that prayer is given in the name and the authority of Jesus, that prayer is also about Jesus. Because yes, we are thankful for the bounty, we are thankful for the family, we are thankful for the blessings. But the greatest of these is Jesus.